assign generals to stack our arms. In fact, that is the first step. That is my first request of you. Stack your arms and disband your army.
And who will enforce the laws once we have them?
The regular army. The police.
They're the ones we just fought and beat. Give me your watch. Give me your watch. Give it to me. It's a beautiful watch. Expensive. Now take my rifle. Now you can have your watch back. But without this, never.
You draw a strong moral.
You ask us to disarm. How could we get our land or keep it if we disarm?
But it's not that simple. It's a matter of time.
Time! Time is one thing to a lawmaker, but to a farmer there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. And you cannot plant and harvest time.
General Zapata, do you trust me?
Just the way my people trust me. I trust you when they trust me, as long as we keep our promises. And not a moment longer.
Where are you going?
I'm going home.
What will you do there?
I will wait, but not for long.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger, right here next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, Steakhouse, and Filling Station. And that's right in front of our big weapons of mass destruction used in refurbished equipment yard, where we bring them in here from all over the world. And boy, they're pouring in here now. I mean, we're getting a lot of stuff. And we wanted to thank the Chinese for helping us get that in here. Yeah, man. And we're going to patch them up. There's a lot of bullet holes and crap like that in them. And we got to get all that radiation out of them. I don't know how we're going to do that. All that depleted uranium stuff all over them. And we got to put them in a lead-lined cave for a while and see what we're going to do. Yeah. Yeah, and then in the springtime when we open up out here, remember to bring the kitties out. We'll have an elephant and a camel, maybe a giraffe, and balloons for the kitties while you shop around for your favorite weapon of mass destruction. But when you bring your 18-wheelers in here, it's a narrow road, so make sure you pull off to the side so my white neighbors can get by. Okay? All right. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and it's March, almost. It is March, the 1st of March, Saturn's Day. So it's time to get your donations to help us with our expenses around here in. Yeah. And then go up to resist.com and get educated. And almost anything you want's up there. Once in a while, I have somebody has a problem here that has to do with getting the show or something like that, or email or something. Well, just contact merchandiseresist@yahoo.com first. And then if it's something that I need to get involved with, I'll get involved with it, yeah. And don't forget, you can call 574-267-5036. That's 574-267-5036. And vent your spleen. You may get me if I'm available here in the bunker. I'll pick up the phone if I'm not right in the middle of doing the show. But then go up to 559-670-1473 and get our latest pontification up there on our intergalactical information line. Yeah. Well, I wonder how long the Jew boys are going to be getting away with this. You know, they created the term neo-Nazi, which is really a non-term, and other than the fact that I guess neo-Nazi many times is the label they put on their own people, their own recruits, their own people sometimes that they mislead and send them out there and say they're neo-Nazis. And they're certainly not National Socialists. They're not Aryan Socialists. They're not Populists and National Populists or anything like that. So you see this over here in the Ukraine. It's quite interesting the way they're playing it over there. Now, they got top Jews working with Washington to move the Ukraine into the orbit of the NATO so they can further surround Iran and also be a knife, dagger in the heart of Russia. So they've got these guys running around being labeled National Socialists neo-Nazis. And they may be neo-Nazis, but that's a terminology I would use for a Jewish-controlled person who is pretending to be a National Socialist. So remember that. In fact, much of what's going on in Europe today, I don't see it as National Socialist, even though they like to pretend and go through some of the mimicry of the salutes and swastikas and all that. I don't see most of these people as National Socialists at all. I see them pretenders. And the ones down there in trouble spot today, I see those people as National Capitalists because they're supporting the move for the Ukraine to move towards the United States. And I hate to see anybody nowadays in another country moving towards the United States because we've lost our government. Our government's totally controlled by predatory capitalists and Jews and all the ilk of the world. So we don't want to see that. We want to see people control their own destiny there, and obviously the Ukraine is close to Russia. They've had their problems in the past, but still they're better off trying to have a peaceful get-along situation over there rather than a big fight, which the Jews in the United States will just take advantage of that. You know that, yeah. So remember, neo-Nazis are not National Socialists. That's a label that the Jews created, and some people accept it, and they're not us. And don't forget, even though we could use the term National Socialist or National Populist or something like that, we also support free enterprise, and that's a hell of a lot different. And the world is the difference between free enterprise and national capitalism. Or capitalism, free enterprises, thousands and thousands of small businesses and farms and so forth that are independent and but working for the common good. And so that's what that is. Well, I was passing one of my rooms on the way to the bunker, I had the radio on. I have radios on all over the place, monitoring little bits and pieces as I walked through the house. And there was a well-known commentator from the left, the Jew-controlled left, progressive, on the radio, and he was saying, well, we have to fight on and fight on for equality. That's right out of the Soviet ideas. One thing that we've enhanced this idea of equality based on the crap that came out of the Soviet Union, and they surely didn't have equality, that's for sure. But this guy was going on and on how you're wonderful for fighting on for equality. You could fight on for a million years. 10,000 years, you're not going to change that. There is no equality. No equality at birth. no quality, equality in adulthood, no equality before the law, there's no equality. That's all bullshit fed to you by morons. No, actually, it's fed to you by very clever people. That they can get everybody repeating that. And you hear it all the time. And if you say, well, I don't think people are equal, they want to run you out of town. Because this comes from inferiority complex. Yeah, they want to be equal because they don't want anybody to be superior. A lot of people use money for superiority. And people hate that, but they envy it, and they love it, and so forth. So anyhow, this, I'm walking by the radio, and I hear him saying that, and I'm just, you poor nut. Congratulating people for fighting on for equality. Oh, man. How can people who are supposedly intelligent, a lot of them are college-educated, university-educated, mow that kind of tripe. It's almost as bad as those people who say, you can't do that to me, I got my rights. If your rights are protected by some powerful entity, well, it's not a right, it's a privilege. And anything can be taken away from you, including your life, if the ruling class or whoever's ever in charge wants to do it. So eliminate, I keep telling you, but I don't know. I want to make sure you understand. Eliminate those two words, equality and rights, from your vocabulary, because they'll just get you in trouble every time. Well, here's something you better watch out for, and that is, you know how the black Africans and whoever their Jewish bosses are trying to raise money from everybody, tell them they won the lottery and all that? Here's a new twist, I think, on the same thing. Okay. Only I think it's a twist to try to screw racial separatists and other people in this country out of their money. It's in broken English, and I'll only read a part of it because it's very hard to read. Just received it this morning. We're a group of people fighting against immigration, the invasion of Asian Africa into Europe. The reason you look is due to the fact that the received information is used something about war in Syria, organized exodus of hordes of Central Asia and Black Continent to the EU and the US. You know that governments have inadequate policy to these problems and therefore need to intervene for us. Well, anyhow, it goes on and on. And it says, expect your solution in the short term to allow for maximum results, and they're looking for money. I think this is a phony deal, and I told them that's not possible. We need all the money we can get for right here in North America. And, of course, there's no signature on it, or organization, or anything like that, so beware. I think they're trying to improve on their other methods of doing things. So the word of the wise should be sufficient if you receive email requesting funds to support some kind of immigration or even racial situation. Make damn sure you know where it came from and whether they're reliable. Let me give you the email on that. It's IOTIK. No, wait. It's IT21 at mail.com. That's IT21 at mail.com. If anybody wants to research it, yeah. Okay, let's go on to something new. Well, more and more we're warned about what to eat and what not to eat. Nearly 500 foods found on grocery store shelves in the United States, including many foods labeled as healthy, contain a potentially hazardous industrial plastics chemical. Well, ugh. According to a report issued Thursday by a health research and advocacy group. Azo decarbonide, I don't know whether I pronounced that right, also known as ADA, was found as an ingredient in breads, bagels, tortillas, hamburger, and hot dog buns, pizza, pastries, and other food products. So then down here, I'm not going to read you the whole article, but it says azodicarbonamide is fully approved for use in food by the United States Food and Drug Administration and the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. But ADA is banned as an additive in Australia and some European countries. So there you go. Watch what you eat. It's getting tougher and tougher to do because they won't label this stuff. They'll fight. That's one reason you know it's crooked is because they won't. They'll fight their asses off and spend a fortune not to label the food. That's your first tip-off. This here is a food additive. Azodicarbonamide is used as a flour bleaching agent, as an oxidizing agent in dough to improve its performance for bakers. It is also used in plastics to improve elasticity and can be found in yoga mats and shoes. The World Health Organization states that epidemiological studies in human and other reports have produced abundant evidence that this azodicarbonamide can induce asthma, other respiratory symptoms, and skin sensation to people working with the chemical. Well, I guess I'm going to have to find something besides flour-based material to eat. I keep getting rid of different things to eat. Pretty soon there will be nothing left. Well, we've got a comment here from one of our associates. TT, just my 2 cents on the Arizona Freedom of Religion bill and your comments. Since I live in Arizona, I want to give you my thoughts. Well, good. While I fully understand your position on freedom and the right to discriminate, I find it extremely difficult to endorse or support anything that right-wing Christian zealots put forward. Well, that's a misunderstanding there. I don't think you quite understand my desire for the right to discriminate. I'll use any weapon I can to advance the natural right of discrimination. And I certainly am not supporting right-wing Christian zealots. I hope that people, when I put out things, understand the underlying foundation of what I'm talking about. And if it throws a monkey wrench into the opposition to have a white racist neo-Nazi white supremacist come out and support the bill, that spreads confusion. There's nothing I like more than spreading confusion among my opposition. This bill was conceived, written, and promoted by the religious right wing. Of course it was, which gains all of its power in Arizona from the Mormon Church, well, and other churches. What most people don't realize is that SB 1062 wasn't really an anti-gay marriage bill per se. What it really did was grant all religious groups the right to claim a religious exemption to any state or local law or ordinance, rules, regulations, and policies if they believe it infringes on their religious rights. But don't you understand, this spreads confusion. That's the method of my madness. Worse is better, and I'll stick with worse and better for now. And that's one of my reasons behind my thinking. Instead of black and white, it's a gray area. In other words, this was a bill created by the religious right wing and made exclusively for the religious right wing. I realize that. That's why I'm trying to throw a little monkey wrench into it. It didn't grant the freedom of political or philosophical beliefs, just religious ones. Well, now we've got the Church of the Creator. I don't see why people that adhere to the Church of the Creator could not own businesses and kick blacks out or anybody else according to that law. So why don't we pick up the law and use it in our favor? At least it caused a hell of an uproar. It was specifically designed to increase the power of churches in Arizona, which due to the presence of the Mormon Church are already incredibly powerful here. Well, they're incredibly powerful everywhere. It's about a $500 billion business in the United States every year. This wasn't really about freedom, it was about religious power. Well, you don't have to tell me that. I know that. Read between the lines when I talk. It was all about granting special privileges to religions. I know that, which is exactly what I don't want. I don't want it either, but by spreading confusion, you're not helping them. You know, the vestiges of the old right wing has hit everything straight on. Never a sideways, never down an alley, never sneak up on anybody or anybody else. Well, I don't buy that. I believe in winning in any way possible. In other words, Tom Metzger would not have been able to use SB 1016 to assist his freedoms, but the local church pastor could. Well, if you applied it, you put a label out on the front of your store, I'm a member of the Church of the Creator, and get it recognized or get it, get it certified and all that kind of stuff. I don't see why you couldn't, at least for a while. There'd be a hell of a fight about it and like that. If you oppose the power of the church in this country, then you have to oppose that bill. Well, I don't have to oppose it or not oppose it. I mean, oppose it. What do you mean? There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not even living in Arizona. The media turned that bill into an anti-gay marriage bill, but in reality, it was so much more than that. Well, as far as a gay marriage, it's gotten to the point. I think all state-controlled marriage should be just forgotten about. Marriage is just a contract between two people that can be written or just audibly spoken. And so if you're in a church, you can go and get the pastor to sign the thing that you're married. Or if you're a secular, just have an attorney draw up your so-called marriage situation. Forget the state. Screw the state. Anytime you can give the state trouble. Why should we give our privilege of being married over to the state? You know. So if the queers want to get married, well, hell, if they want to go down there and sign a paper that they can do all their butt fucking and everything, well, they're going to do it anyhow. The trouble is, when the state gets involved, it has to do with taxes and all kinds of stuff like that, and that ends up costing other taxpayers a lot of money. So, anyhow, I don't know. That's at least my position, and I think the point is well taken. I don't want to do anything that helps the churches, but we should always be willing to fight a guerrilla warfare and fight it in any way that we see that we can split and divide. Yeah. Now, if no one pays attention to what I've said or anything I've written and put on comments on the internet, well, just chalk it up to we tried. But if some anti-church people pick it up what I've said, well, they're going to be throwing it at the church people, and pretty soon you got a mob fight. And that's good as far as I'm concerned. Well, more bad news for North Dakota, the latest state to confirm a case of deadly pig virus, which has killed an estimated 4 million pigs in the United States since its discovery in the spring of 2013. The first North Dakota case of porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, or PEDV, was confirmed in the eastern part of the state this week. The North Dakota State University Extension Service said in a statement on Thursday. Well, it goes on and on explaining this, but, gee, is that karma? I don't know. Seems to me like maybe their choice of oil over people and profits and greed over people in North Dakota may be catching up with them. I don't know. Crime, oil spills, train wrecks, all kinds of crap. And now the piggy virus. That's too bad, because I'm sure they raise a lot of swine in North Dakota, but not just the swine in Lee. Yeah. Well, there's a massive die-off of oysters and scallops in the Pacific Northwest. Millions of shellfish dying. Never seen anything like it. By July, mortality hit 95 to 100%. Deformed shells, smaller in size. Cause is unknown, but ocean acidification is the main suspect. Wow. Well, they're hinting that it's the Fukushima situation, which it may be. Beware, there's some people trying to take advantage of this to exaggerate. But I'm sure that there's a basis for this belief that Fukushima is beginning to cause a lot of problems and going to show up here on the West Coast. I don't think I'd be too anxious to go down to the beach and swim around very much, and unless I took my Geiger counter with me. Well, I sent you out a little information that I retrieved from the Chews about Fat Tony and Christie there in New Jersey, and how he and other, and these Jews, some of them that work with him, were setting up this big traffic jam up there at the Port Authority in New Jersey that blocked people from getting into New York. And what a bunch of little kids, like little boys playing with matches or something it was. So anyhow, you'll see how ridiculous these leaders can be. You always think, everybody thinks these leaders are intellectual and they're educated and they're smart. For the most part, they're not any smarter than you are, and in many cases, they're a hell of a lot dumber than you and I are. Well, I see the right-wing patriots are all in a dither up there in the state of Connecticut. Says the war on liberty is coming to a head in Connecticut, where tens of thousands of gun owners have refused to comply with their state government's gun registration laws. Officials have literally ordered those who failed to meet the registration deadline to surrender their firearms or face arrest. And I'm not sure whether this is true or not, but there shouldn't be any argument. You just hide your guns. When it gets to that point, it's not time to argue about it. Just hide your guns or use them. And I think it's not quite time to use them, so you'd best hide them instead of arguing with the state about it and letting them know you got them. The state of Connecticut is now demanding that gun owners across the state turn in all newly banned unregistered firearms and magazines or face felony arrest. The state police special licensing and firearms unit began mailing out notices to gun owners who attempted to register their firearms and accessories with the state but did not do so in time for the January 1st deadline of Connecticut's newly enacted gun control law. Well, that was their first mistake. If you've gone out there and you filled out paperwork, now they know you got the guns. Stupid. The law bans the sale of magazines holding over 10 rounds and assault rifles. Well, all rifles can be used as assault rifles. There's no difference. Manufactured before 1994 and requires that residents who possess either before the ban to register them with the state. Oh, yeah, I'll be right down and register them. Yeah, mister. Yeah, I'll do it. Screw you. Those guns should be buried so far out in the boonies that nobody could ever find them. Except you. Well, this group goes on to say that it doesn't take a stretch of the imagination to understand that the enforcement of this law can only come at the barrel of a gun. Well, no, they... agents from the government come out and say, boo, give me your guns, and most people will do it. They're not even going to have to point a gun at you. Most people are cowards when it comes down to the wire. They can yap and be bravado all they want. Therefore, we can conclude that we may soon see SWAT-style raids on the homes of suspected lawbreakers, because we're talking about gun confiscation. You can be fully assured that the state will not be knocking nicely, and they won't be asking residents to exit their homes. They're going in full force. Well, how many years I've been telling you to, if there's guns you don't want them to know about, well, make sure they don't know about them. I mean, you know, how many decades do I have to talk about this? So now, and for the people there in Connecticut that went actually filled out paperwork on guns that the government didn't even know about, you're dumber than a rock. No, unfortunately, this is the old right wing that are going to get everybody in a dither over this. And same outfits selling all kinds of stuff. This one of these big right wing buy gold and silver bunch and all that kind of stuff, called the SHTFplan.com. Well, what can I say? They're going to come and get your gun, man. They're going to have to pry it out of your cold, dead hand. And they will. But what are they going to do about all those other kind of weapons that you can have? There's nothing they can do about it. There's far worse weapons around than guns. They don't seem to quite understand that. Well, I thought that Israel was the land of love and toleration. Every time I turn around, I find out that that may not be true. This is an article called Hardened Racism in Israel. The Israeli racism, already institutionalized on February 24th, even got meaner. Fascist Knesset members approved legislation distinguishing between Muslim and Christian Arab citizens. At issue is separate and less equal than before. Wow. It's divide and conquer policy. Critics slammed the law. They did so justifiably. It institutes what at first glance seems minor. It changes the number of public advisory council members appointed under the 1988 Equal Employment Opportunities Law. 5 members increase to 10. Currently, Christians, Muslims, Druze, and Circassian representatives are included. New legislation gives Muslim and Christian Arab citizens separation representation. Separate representation. New ones are added for ultra-Orthodox Jews, reserve duty soldiers, women, immigrants, virtually all Jews, and the elderly. What a mess that is over there. Talk about a bucket of snakes. That's a crazy land, man. Crazy land. And the problem of them being crazy, not so much they're crazy, but they got 200 or 300 nukes, maybe more over there. Jeez. Wow. And their Jew buddies and Jew cousins that point their finger at us and say, how terrible that terrible Tommy is. Well, I guess you heard about that Ted Nugent thing about calling the Presidente of the United States a mongrel. Oh, man. People get so excited. Anyhow, there was a little bit of an article here. Let me read this to you by people who are just appalled that this could happen. Are you appalled? While it's a technical definition, an individual resulting from the interbreeding of diverse breeds or strains, unquote, is just another way of saying biracial. The term mongrel has an ugly history, and the phrase subhuman mongrel has an even uglier one. Well, but it's true. And of course it's ugly. It's meant to be ugly. First, the original use of the word. The primary definition of mongrel refers to dogs or mixed breeds. Well, as time passed, the term was expanded to include humans of mixed races and ethnicities, sometimes in a prejudicial way, from the times of slavery through the civil rights movement. Mongrel was also used as an insult against those of interracial relationships. In other words, were black men screwing white lady. But even worse is the use of the phrase subhuman mongrel. At the peak of slavery in America, the view of blacks as being subhuman was used as justification by wealthy whites. Fast forward to the 1930s and 40s when Nazi Germans referred to Jews as Untermensch or Mitschling, which translates to underman or subhuman, and mongrel. pamphlets and paraphernalia from the period show the Nazis using these views to justify genocide. Nugent, meanwhile, hit the road right after the comments and went public to campaign for the Republican Texas gubernatorial candidate Greg Abbott, who, as Texas Attorney General, has his own history with the controversial comments and laws inhibiting women's rights. Rather than distancing the campaign from Nugent's comments, Abbott's team welcomed his help. The controversy is what he said in the past. We're not endorsing Ted Nugent. He's supporting us. The campaign aide told CNN, it's easy to criticize some of the language he used in the past, but he's protected by the U.S. Constitution, like you and I. Well, that's true. That's the way it is, and we'll see what happens to old Teddy Boy. Because if he's honest about this, they're going to figure a way of screwing him. Well, racist emails passed around by Wisconsin's governor's staff. An investigation into potentially illegal campaign work by Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's staff has turned up an entirely separate revelation. His staff is loaded with people who think racism and ethnic and cultural stereotypes are funny. More than 27,000 emails and hundreds of court documents were released last week as the investigation and the legal proceedings stemming from it is closed. Among them are several racist and inflammatory emails attacking President Obama and blacks nationwide. One depicts President Obama as an acorn cap with a nut still attached. The picture is a Photoshop 2004 image of the president that added a cigarette and an acorn cap in an apparent reference to the scandal involving the Association of Community Organizations for Report Now or ACORN. Also included were at least two racist emails. Gee, out of thousands? Oh, my. A short story titled The Nightmare. The narrator tells of a nightmare he has in which he wakes up and discovers that he is black, gay, Jewish, and disabled. This email was forwarded in 2010 by Thomas Nardelli, who was Walker's chief of staff when Walker was Milwaukee County Executive. Well, my God, run for your life. Run for your life. Here, let's see what else we got here on this particular horrible, terrible thing. Here's a little bit of that nightmare story. In the nightmare, I found myself nude in bed, and I was looking at a mirror on the ceiling, and I discovered that I'm a Negro, and I'm circumcised. The narrator talks of being very depressed, downcast, sitting in a chair at the realization he's black and Jewish, before discovering that he has a Mexican boyfriend and is in a wheelchair. Desperate, I began to shout, cry, pull my hair, and oh no, I'm bald, the narrator says. The nightmare continues with the realization that he's unemployed, has one hand, and a pacemaker. Of course, as the story ends, the narrator realizes he can handle all that, but please, please don't tell me I'm a Democrat. The other, also forwarded in 2010 by Kelly Reinfleisch, then Walker's deputy chief of staff, with the comments that is a hilarious and so true, includes the image of four dogs. Beneath it is a story of attacking welfare recipients. Wow. That's horrible. That's very intolerant of you people. Well, let's hear a little bit about Bitcoin and old Max Kaiser, what he's got going there, and about all these Chinese that are leaving Russia, ripping off the government of China and moving out of the country and dragging their money with them. And what's that doing to the economy? Let's listen in.
I'm Max Kaiser. You know, the CEO of Mt. Gox tried to concern troll his way into a bailout, just like Hank Paulson trolling Congress in 2008. Mark Karpeles told other Bitcoin firms that he was really also very concerned that if they didn't bail him out to the tune of 200,000 Bitcoin, then Bitcoin would collapse. Of course, when Treasury Secretary ex-Goldman Sachs man Hank Paulson did the same, Congress and shrieking voters gave him what he wanted. For markets had tumbled by nearly 1,000 points. Wah! Yes, we're big babies. Stop it, they cried. So, Mark, now that you have bankrupted the Magic Gathering online exchange and allegedly disappeared with your customers' money in the style of John Corzine of MF Global infamy, and now that U.S. federal prosecutors have subpoenaed you, it's time to get a job on Wall Street. That's where too big to fail crybabies operate. Bitcoin is no place for babies. Stacy.
Yes, Max. Well, allegedly, all of this is allegedly, Mark Kaparlis at Mt. Gox has lost or misplaced or you know, stolen 744,000 Bitcoin. And again, we're pre-recording this a bit, so we don't know if he's jumped from some tall building in Tokyo yet. But at the time of the recording, he has not yet jumped. Now, that 744,000 Bitcoin is about 6% of all Bitcoin out there. But did you know that 3% of Chinese GDP per year is also stolen, taken out of the country, and brought to Australia, the UK, Canada, and America? Corrupt Chinese officials flee overseas, some bound for Australia. So apparently there's an intensifying crackdown on corruption in China, so they're all fleeing. And the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, a prestigious government-controlled think tank, urged stricter monitoring of what it termed naked officials, those whose spouses or children have migrated overseas and were therefore more likely potential recipients of illicit from within China. The phenomenon of the flight of officials is likely to escalate, particularly under the current anti-graft wave, said Liu Yanbin, a researcher at the Academy and co-author of the report. Corrupt cadres are running out of places to live in this country.
Right, so 3% of China's GDP is being extracted by these corrupt officials fleeing. What percentage of the U.S. GDP is tied to these too-big-to-fails on Wall Street that are being bailed out and disrupting their economy? I think it's something like 22%. So a mere 6% of the Bitcoin economy being in question due to the machinations of Mark Karpeles over there in Tokyo, it's part and parcel of what you see in markets. The point being, though, that he's established himself as a totally corrupt guy, therefore he should be working on Wall Street, not in the Bitcoin space, because Bitcoin is free market capitalism. It's not crony capitalism. It's not too big to fail capitalism. He tried to emulate Hank Paulson by extorting a bailout fee from other Bitcoin firms. So he's clearly on the wrong side of the crypto divide. He should be in fiat world, not in crypto world.
Well, at one point, that 744,000 bitcoins was worth close to $1 billion. Right now, it's worth like $400 million. But, you know, there's a place for, if you can steal and loot that much from any economy, there's a place for you, as they point out here, for these Chinese officials. Past experience shows that the most popular destinations for corrupt officials are the U.S., Canada, and Australia, said Hu Jingdao, an economics professor at the Beijing Institute of Technology. Australia has already become a major recipient country of Chinese corrupt officials. Now, Australia is changing their visa system because there were so many Chinese. There were literally tens of thousands of them on this list, on this visa application list for one of the top visa applications there, the visa categories. And instead, because there were so many, they reckon they could charge them like $2.5 million Australian dollars instead of the, I don't know, the tens of thousands they were charging previously.
Well, this is inflation. People say there's no inflation, but this is inflation. The central banks are printing lots of money, and it's going into Chinese visa applicants whose price for coming into the UK is going from 1 million to 2 million, soon to be 5 million pounds. Why do they want to come here? They want to come here to launder the money they're stealing from China. When they arrive here, they use all the laundered money given to them through the central banking system to jack up real estate prices in London, and everyone else who's actually working for a living, like firemen, policemen, school teachers, doctors, they have to move out of London to make room for the kleptocrats, and that's where the inflation is creating a problem in the economy.
Well, that's where you have housing bubbles, the countries they mention, Australia, Canada. Think of the Vancouver house prices. Again, a lot of those are also bought by Chinese. They could be fleeing. Now, they said, you know, that it was the Boston Consulting Group who said that 3% of annual GDP every year is taken from the country, smuggled out by these corrupt officials, the naked officials. Now, the actual numbers are quite amazing. They say a previous report from the CAS said more than 18,000 officials had fled the country between 1995 and 2008, smuggling out assets totaling 800 billion yuan, which is $145 billion. In 1 week alone last year, the state-run Economic Observer newspaper reported that 714 government officials fled overseas and did not return.
Again, this is inflationary, and the people who are being destroyed by this inflation are dying, and the government is pointing to the people dying on the street and saying, you see, that's deflation, so we need to keep interest rates low. They don't bother looking at the fact that on the top end, due to mass migration of billionaires, it's causing incredible inflation that's bankrupting and destroying everyone else who's not in the kleptocrats class. But the bankers only look at the people who are the victims of the kleptocracy and say, you see, there's deflation. Let's keep interest rates low. They've put the blinders on, and they don't look anywhere else in the economy where hyperinflation of visas going from 1 million pounds to 3 million pounds in 24 months, that doesn't seem to factor into their calculations. Why they should raise interest rates, not make visa applicants higher, because all you're doing is you're feeding the kleptocracy and you're continuing to create economic victims.
Now, Mark Karpeles did issue a statement claiming he was still in Tokyo. So we don't know if he's actually fled to Australia, Canada, or the U.S. under one of these visa programs with all his looted Bitcoin. But the actual Chinese themselves, who are victims of these corrupt officials, well, Mt. Gox exchange shutdown sparks Chinese Bitcoin gold rush. Chinese investors rushed to buy Bitcoin. Max, we were watching that on fiatleak.com, actually. You could just see vroom, 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 all the Bitcoin going straight into China. Well, since Tuesday, more than 30,000 Bitcoins have changed hands in China. That's four times the usual trade volume in comparison with just 300 exchanged in the United States.
Right. Mark Karpeles is the John Corzine of the Bitcoin world. He made a terrible bet on Bitcoin. Had he been able to hold his position, it would have been very profitable for him. But like John Corzine and his position in Eurobonds, the timing was bad. He ended up bankrupting MF Global. He did eventually get a stay of execution from Goldman Sachs and his friends in Washington because they can print all the fiat money they want to cover all the crimes that are being committed. But Bitcoin cannot be printed to cover up the crimes. So like real market, free market capitalism, this guy's going to have to actually face the music.
Well, exactly. Everybody's saying, well, there should be regulation. But now you compare it to John Corzine, just like Mark Karpeles, they actually made really excellent, wicked, cool bets. They made sure bets. But they both dipped into client funds. They both dipped into client funds to cover their losses. Now, John Corzine, despite all of the regulation, despite everything that happened post-Enron, where CEOs are supposed to know what's going on with their books, he pleaded ignorance. He said, I'm just stupid. I didn't know that this was going on, and he got out of jail free. Well, people are saying Mark Karpeles should have known. He apparently never audited his books once, they say, in the last 3 years. So he's alleging he's as stupid as John Corzine.
Well, in free market capitalist economies, you have something called the price signal. And under John Corzine, the price signal of the bond market was manipulated by his folks and friends in the various bankers around the world to make it look like there wasn't this massive fraud going on. In the case of free market capitalism of Bitcoin, the price signal of Bitcoin dropping 50% from a high tells us that there's in fact something going on that needs to be looked at. And now it's being looked at, and the dead wood is being cleaned out of the Bitcoin economy. You know, people who say that Bitcoin is not regulated are that's false. The Bitcoin is the most regulated currency in the world. It's called the Bitcoin Protocol. That's the regulation. It disintermediates and it gets rid of the need for the CFO or the Serious Fraud Office or the SEC or anyone else, FinRENs, FinCEN. You don't need them because it's self-regulating in the truest sense of the world, of the word. It's like the equation E equals MC squared. There's nothing you can do to perfect it. It is what it is. It was discovered, and that's what it is. You don't need a regulator to come in and say, we need to regulate E equals MC squared. Similarly, with the Bitcoin protocol, there's nothing any regulator can do to add or subtract from the fact of the protocol what it is. That's what it is.
So we were talking about China and the corruption there. There were 41 new billionaires created last year. They're only second to the United States, where there were 72 billion new billionaires created. So I want to talk about corruption in the United States, because everybody, the U.S. is the global police force, right? Well, political connections and turbulent times. In a seminal 2001 paper, Ray Fisman mapped out the connections of various Indonesian companies to then-President Suharto and showed that the market value of those companies varied relative to the value of otherwise similar companies as rumors spread about Suharto's health. So they're like, ha-ha, that's a banana republic, they're corrupt. Well, they've just done a study looking at the United States, in particular, those bankers, in particular, connected very strongly to Tim Geithner. And what they found, over the 10 trading days following the announcement of Tim Geithner as Treasury Secretary, financial firms with a connection to Geithner experienced a cumulative abnormal return of about 12% relative to other financial sector firms. This reversed when his nomination ran into trouble due to unexpected tax issues. So the same corruption clearly is being priced in, the price signals as saying that it is a corrupt nation.
The U.S. is the easiest place for billionaires and dictators to launder money. Why? Because it's the only country in the world where you can have anonymous corporations. A lot of Americans create entities overseas, and then those entities create anonymous corporations in America so that they launder their money in America. General Electric, they made billions of dollars in revenues. They paid less than $20 million in taxes last year because of massive fraud, because America is the easiest place to commit massive fraud. And the same thing with pretty much the entire S&P 500. But anyway, we're out of time. We'll have to pick this up next time. Thanks.
I hope you were picking up on all that Chinese stuff, huh? People seem to forget. They talk about Jews in Europe all the time. That's all I hear, Jews in Europe and Jews in Eastern Europe. But how about the Jews in China? Jews have been in China for over 1,000 years. There's synagogues around in China. And I bet you a lot of these guys that are fleecing the Chinese government and then skipping over here to the United States and investing in agricultural land and everything else are Jews from associated probably with the old Sassoon family. So, you know, I remember when Rockwell was around and people would say talk about Chinese Jews and they'd make fun of them. Chinese Jews, there can't be any Chinese Jews. Well, yes, there have been. And originally they had, if you go back far enough, they had kinky hair. But over the eons of intermarrying with Chinese, regular Chinese, they've got straight hair. So anyhow, that's the old Sassoon, and they handle all the affairs of Jewry in Asia. And so we need to talk about that more, because now they're coming out of there like locusts. Boy, they're really taking over down in Australia. Jeez. And they're coming here, and this country gets more corrupt by the day. Yes, the Jewish entry into China took place a long time ago, back when the Mongols invaded China and took over. Well, they had a problem, because the Mongols were about as dumb as the so-called Native American Mongols here in this country. And so they had to import somebody to do the clerical work in government, because they couldn't do it. They didn't have the smarts for it. So way back then is when they imported Jews into China. And they've been there ever since, in the background there, doing their little thing. So there you go. Well, let's close out today with a little reading from the Might is Right book. Yeah. Many years after the Declaration was issued, that's the Declaration of Independence, our written Constitution was constructed with much voluble sophistry and mimic strife. That document, considered as a whole, is the most cunningly worded and at the same time the most terrible instrument of government and mastership that any Anglo-Teutonic tribe has ever yoked itself up under. Pretending to grant liberty and self-government, it practically annihilates both. Under the show of guaranteeing personal independence and civil rights, it is organized an elective tyranny wherein the mob monarch possesses more arbitrary authority than any dynastic despot since the days of Darius or Belshazzar. The highest crime is actually written in the highest law of the land. Quote, thus did the great guile masters, their toils and their tangles set, and as wide as was the water, so wide was woven the net. Indeed, the written constitution of our republic is a monstrous mechanical contrivance that bids fair, when once has got properly underway, to squeeze the very heart out of all the best elements in America. Our federal government may be very appropriately compared to a pirate ship cleverly disguised as a friendly armed cruiser, convoying a fleet of peaceful merchantmen loaded with an immense treasure of 70 million passengers. When it first came to their assistance, it was, oh, so kindly, so affectionate, so full of loving regard for its intended prey, for the welfare and the bon voyage of its quarry. Now, however, its 45 ships of state are out in the open ocean and absolutely at its mercy. It strips off its decoy rig and hoists the death's head and bloody bones upon its hidden portholes, runs out its round-lipped broadsides and yells through its editorial speaking trumpets, "Heave to there, or you'll be blown out of the water." Thus, it will be seen that the Jesuitic evangel of equality has proved itself a tremendous success. It seduced the American people into a feeling of contentment and security till their bonds and fetters were properly forged, polished, and neatly riveted on. Well fashioned indeed was the net, a splendid spider web, as it proved itself, and withal needful. Under the hypnotic spell of a free and equal dream, Americans have been hustled into a convict prison of laborness to piratical masters 1,000 times more terrible and more unyielding than any history can describe. All that is now left of the liberty is its name and the harmless privilege the common people have of scolding their proprietors in vulgar editorial diatribes at or about election times. Occasionally they do descend into the streets, indulging in sanguinary vociferations upon the same general principle that impels a mangy cur to howl most dismally if struck with a brick. The conflict between the masters and the helots is over the present, and the masters, having conquered, are in possession of the booty in the field. Hark! The songs of victory, the flap of battle pinions. Indeed, considering all the circumstances, and the common people are lost souls, no matter what they do now, they must remain in hell. Their position is that of a worm trying to escape from its hole in a heated burning log. If it runs to the right, it runs into heat and smoke. If it runs to the left, it runs into blazes. A few minutes more and it's roasted alive. Even should America's servile multitudes appeal to the arbitrament of physical force, they cannot possibly win, possessing neither the strength, courage, brains, arms, money, nor leaders. They must be blown into eternal fragments by their masters, highly trained and artilleristic and scientific destroyers. Let's see, do we have time for any more? Maybe, let's see here. Let's see a little bit more here of this. Oh, okay, we'll try this. The citadel of power is now consolidated and prepared with the most improved armaments to repel an assault, no matter how well sustained. The nation is intersected in all directions with iron highroads and splendid waterways, whereupon armies and navies may be moved from city to city with facility and dread effect. The war of secession, or rather the war for the annihilation of self-government, demonstrated conclusively that a centralized authority resting on herd votes of the vulgar and the fanatic is, in practice, military absolutism. There is no other power in the land that can effectively hold it in check. The Tsar of Russia possessed less actual authority than our federal government. With a standing army in the hollow of his hand, it can do exactly what it pleases, i.e., if it can collect enough revenue to purchase statesmen and pay the salaries of its Praetorian cohorts. Most Americans are only now beginning to perceive these things, but they were foreseen and also foretold in part by clear-sighted individuals before the Constitution itself was formally enthroned. Today, all the old Sphinx questions are up again for solutions. No man of balanced sense can honestly believe that these problems are to be settled by the ballot box stuffing or editorialism. Settled they must be upon the good old rule, the simple plan, and therefore settled and resettled again and again, for there is no finality in the social adjustments that should not be. Material strength is the basis of all human greatness, and material strength must settle the tyranny of the greatest number, probably with fire and steel. All other theories are chimeras, lies, delusions, make-believe, and no account. The philosophy of power has the slumbering long, but whenever men of sterling worth are found, it must again sweep away the ignoble dollar-damned pedestalism of today and openly as of old, and dominate the destiny of an emancipated and all-conquering race. What is viler than a government of slaves and usurious Jews? What is grander than a government of the noblest and the best, who have proved their fitness on the plains of death? Cromwell and his Ironsides, Caesar and his legions, shall be born again, and the thunderous tread of Sulla's fierce destroyers shall roll and rumble amid the fire and glare and smoke of crumbling constitutionalisms. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, warfare without end. Yapping politicians may harangue base city mobs of hirelings and Christlings with the alas, poor Yorick, rhapsody as if struggle and strife were the evil of all evils. Figures of speech, however, cannot breathe the breath of life into feline philosophies that never have had the slightest foundation in fact. The survival of the fittest, the toughest, is the logic of events and of all time. They who declare themselves otherwise are blind. The chief point is this, that fitness must honestly demonstrate itself not by ignoble theft and theory, but by open conflict as Darwin's law of battle. Well, that's it from Might is Right for today. I'll be back with you. I'll be with you if you want to tune up to Blog Talk tomorrow to Ugly Truth at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be on there. And then I'll be back with you on Moon's Day and 14:05. And I love this book, Might is Right, because when I get a little, tend to get a little bit liberal. All I have to do is hearken back to it and say we've been screwed from the beginning, and that's why there's not going to be any peaceful solution to what we're in. No way, no how. It may take quite a while coming, but once it comes, it'll be blood, sweat, and tears. 14:05.
Could be holding you tonight. Could quit doing wrong, start doing right. You don't care about what I think. I think I'll just stay here and drink. Hey, button you down, don't square no deal. At least you know the way I feel. Take all the money in the bank. Think I'd just stay here and drink. Listen close and you can hear that loud jukebox playing in my ear. Ain't a woman gonna change the way I think. I think I'd just stay here and drink. Now don't mean a thing. Since love ain't here, don't feel no pain. My mind ain't nothing but a total blank. I think I'd just stay here and drink. Yeah.
Right out here.
When the
it's not your turn.
No,
not your turn. It's Merle Haggard's turn here at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. So you wait till next time, lady. Yeah.